Good morning. This is Choices, and this is Judy Mario, your host for today, talking to you about if you had to sign your name. Now, what I mean by that is a few years ago, I was watching TV, and there was a TV commercial that said, if you had to sign your name to everything you did, would you do it better? And I just found that amazing because there are so many people that kind of do things just to get by. But if they had to sign their name, I wonder, would they do it better? I think that if our name was on something in public, most people would do it better. Isn't that a shame? Isn't it a shame that we can't just do it for the pure pleasure of doing it, for making it happen, for showing people how good we can be at what we do? And not, maybe we don't even need to take credit for it. Maybe if we weren't taking credit, it would be okay, because it'd be amazing what all you could get done if somebody didn't have to have the credit for it. But today we're just talking about doing the best that you can wherever you are and at whatever you are doing. Instead of being passive, I think that each of us should be doing something every day about our dream, making our dream come true. And the present, you know, right now is the only time that we have. So we need to think to ourselves, what can I do right now to make my life the best it can be? What one step can I take to advance in a forward direction? You know, there are people who observe how you do things. We may not sign our name, but people watch us. People see when we're doing our very best. And even when we're doing a job we don't like, are we giving it our very best? Because people will recognize your commitment to doing the job well, and opportunities will start to present themselves. By doing your best at whatever you are doing, what you're doing is taking control of the situation. I know in my life I've had a lot of jobs that weren't my dream job. They weren't my ideal. But got to do them to the best of my ability so that I can keep advancing. You know, if you're unhappy about the situation you're in, you need to know that only you can change it. You've got to do the best where you are and take steps to get yourself into a better position as fast as you can. In the meantime, don't go around complaining to others. Complaining will not only make others around you miserable, it will be a constant reminder to you of how miserable you are. You know, when we say negative things, other people aren't the only ones that hear it. We hear it as well. It goes right back into our psyche. And in the average workplace today, we hear a minimum of 5 negative statements every hour. A minimum of 5 negative statements every hour. That's a lot of negative statements, and 70% of that negativity comes from ourselves. We're complaining about things. Don't complain. Just work at being the best you can. My friend Allison had a PhD, and she had a really, really powerful job, but she thought she deserved to be paid more than she was being paid, so she quit her job. She thought it was going to be easy just to go out and find another job, and months went by, and she didn't find a new job, and she had children to feed and other financial obligations, and the month went by, and the month went by, and finally she took a job cleaning other people's houses. Now, this is a lady with a PhD, and for her, this was not easy because she's overweight, and so hard physical labor was not easy for her to do. And regardless, she did it to the best of her ability, and she was able to pay her bills and meet her obligations while she was still looking for another job that would be more suitable to her skills and to her education level. And when one of the people whose home she cleaned commented on the fact that Allison was so happy and so pleasant to work with, she laughed and told this woman how she had quit her other job months before and had been unable to find a suitable position at the time, and that's why she was cleaning houses. Now, this woman admired Allison for doing this housekeeping job to the best of her ability and having such a good attitude, even though she knew that Allison was extremely overqualified. And so what happened was she ended up recommending Allison to a colleague for a position in the colleague's consulting business. And Allison was able to use her knowledge, her creative abilities, and her expertise in her new job. And this led Allison to a very successful career as a television personality. in her area where she lived. So think about this. When life circumstances put you in a position you don't want to be in, or maybe when you put yourself in a position you don't want to be in, you need to make the best of it. I've done that. I've put myself, years ago, I quit my job because my boss gave my typewriter to another secretary. Well, I know typewriter, that was a long time ago. But I quit my job, and it was a good paying job, and guess what? There I was with no work. So we need to learn that sometimes we put ourselves in these life circumstances. And even if we don't want to be there, we need to make the best of it. You know, if you go about your work graciously doing more than is required of you, you're going to be surprised at the results that you're going to achieve. Think about the things you've done today. Did you love what you were doing? Did you do them to the best of your ability? Could you have done anything better? Did you enjoy your day? Did you complain about anything? Did you take any steps to improve your situation? I found that when I complain, I make myself miserable. If the more you complain, the more miserable you become. You know, I had a young lady that used to work for me. I owned a big model agency in Las Vegas for quite a long time, 17 years as a matter of fact. And I had a young lady that worked for me, and she had a pretty negative attitude. And one day she did something, and it was kind of mediocre, the result that she got. And I said to her, well, at least you did the best you could. And she looked at me and she said, no, I didn't do the best I could. I can do a lot better than that. It just blew me away. I couldn't believe that someone actually knew that they could do a lot better than what she did. She knew she could do better than what she did, and yet she didn't do it. And when confronted about it, she openly admitted that she could have done better if she had put some effort and some energy into it. And so we had quite a long talk about that. I didn't fire her. I kept her on because I was just fascinated. And, you know, she became a very, very good employee. In fact, one of the best I ever had. And it was just a matter of she hadn't realized that it was important to me that she did the best that she could. And sometimes, you know, we don't realize that. We don't realize that it's so important to our employer or to the people around us that we be the best that we can be. One of the ways we can be the very, very best and be valuable to an organization is to become a problem solver. You know, problem solvers are worth their weight in gold. Problem identifiers are a dime a dozen. Anyone can go around pointing out problems. On the other hand, far too few people spend their time and use their minds looking for solutions. Problems really give us an opportunity to be creative. And if you can identify a problem, you certainly should be able to use your creative abilities to think of some ways to solve it, at least one or two possible solutions. Now, they might not be exactly perfect. They might not be the right solution, but at least we give somebody an idea that we're trying to make an effort to solve the problem. Now don't confuse problem solving with decision making. Problem solving is a brainstorming activity where we look at all the possible options available to us to solve a problem. Decision making is where we select one of those possibilities. And I don't believe we should ever make a decision that is not in everyone's best interest. But we make our decisions based on what we know is the right thing to do. And the way you find out what the right thing to do is you do a lot of problem solving. And you get the people on your team involved in the problem solving and sharing with you what they think we could do and sharing with you what they think the best solution would be. So make your decisions based on what you know is the right thing to do. Be sure that what you choose passes the test of your conscience as well as your integrity. When you see a problem, prepare a careful analysis of that problem and any other problem it may cause. Make sure you are looking at the real problem and not a symptom of a problem. you know, so many times symptoms of problems look like they're real problems, but they aren't. There's something deeper down. There's something further back. But once you're absolutely positive you are addressing the real problem, create that list of possible solutions and recommendations for alternatives. Then evaluate each option to be sure you are doing what is right for all concerned. And if you feel in your heart that it's the right thing to do, well, then do it. And remember this. If you don't have problems, you aren't growing. Growth is always a creator of problems. And these problems are opportunities. A problem just might be the push you need to do something differently, to change your life a bit. I had that happen to me a couple of years ago when I came down with cancer. I mean, cancer, me? Are you kidding me? No. And in fact, cancer doesn't run in my family. So when the doctor said to me, you have cancer, I was in shock. But I got to thinking about it, and I thought, okay, something's wrong here. Something's wrong between what I thought I was doing right and evidently what is right. And so I had to change things. I had to do something differently. I had to grow. And by looking at the problem, by doing the problem-solving activity, by kind of mind-mapping everything out, making a map of it and saying, okay, what's got to be changed here? And then doing my homework and finding the right doctor to work with and the right oncologist, it was amazing how my life changed. And because of the cancer, I changed the way I work. I changed a lot of the people in my life who weren't really positive or conducive to my life. And I started taking art lessons, and that was a big stress reliever, to sit down and just draw and paint and concentrate on nothing. It was better than therapy. It was really phenomenal. And now, of course, the art has continued, and I'm doing a lot of paintings. But I even took up dance lessons. My doctor recommended I take up dance lessons because I don't like to go to the gym and just exercise. And so I started taking dance lessons, and it changed my life. So, see, when you get a problem, it can be a creator of wonderful opportunities if you're open to looking at it. And my life is better now than it's ever been. And I think one of the things is to know that when you got through cancer, when you get to the other side and you're well and happy and in great shape, and, you know, all of a sudden things, other little problems don't seem so big. They're not near as difficult to face as the cancer was. I mean, so many things that we whine about aren't really big problems at all, but yet we make them into it. So we want to stop making our little problems, which are kind of like potholes. We want to quit making these little potholes into canyons, because each and every one of us has a tendency to do that. Sometimes we get a little carried away and exaggerate our problems and our issues. You are listening to Judy Mario, and this is Choices. Choices brought to you by Turning Point International in Las Vegas. At Turning Point International, we offer self-help products, including books, personal development programs, CDs, and personal coaching for people who want to be writers and public speakers. And now some of the books that are offered at Turning Point International include my books, You Are More Than Enough, You Are More Than Enough, Every Woman's Guide to Purpose, Passion, and Power, which is a guide to help you believe in yourself and build your confidence. And if you want to take a look at that, you can look at it either on Amazon.com, or most of the major bookstores have it, or you can go to my website, judymorio.com. And remember, I spell my name with an I, so it's judimorio.com/products. So that's judymorio.com/products. And you can take a look at my You Are More Than Enough book right there. And next to it, you'll find the Achievement Journal. Now, the Achievement Journal is, it's really one of the achievements of my life. It took me 20 years to compile this incredible personal development course. And it'll help you to set your goals and achieve your goals in all the 8 areas of your life. And what I mean by the eight areas of your life, the eight major areas of your life are relationships, finances, health, career, education, recreation, spiritual, and your community involvement. And all of us should have goals in all of those eight areas of our lives, because if we have goals and we're working in all eight areas, we're keeping our life more in balance. And for such a long time, my goals were all career-oriented and education-oriented. And I didn't have, well, and financial-oriented, but I didn't have health goals or community involvement goals or recreation goals. I mean, who thinks to set goals for how to have fun? But this is so, so important that we need to do that. Excuse me. See, one of the things that we need to learn to do in life is to pace ourselves. Because if we don't pace ourselves properly, what will happen is we'll be going at full speed, and then all of a sudden, like me, boom, cancer hits you, and you're just stopped. You just totally, totally stopped. I used to live up in the mountains, not too far outside of Las Vegas, and we had bighorn sheep up in that area, and it was wonderful to watch them as they climbed the mountain, and I learned a real lesson about life from them, because what they would do would be they would climb for a while, and then when they reached a ledge, they would rest, and then they'd look around and walk around the mountain at the same level for a while. And then they'd climb again, but they didn't climb straight up. They'd go in an angle, work their way around the rocks and the brush. And sometimes they'd come back down the mountain a little ways. And when they'd come back down, they would graze a little bit and stop and rest. And then they'd go back up a little more. And what I'm saying here is by watching them, I learned a lot, because if we want to reach our goal, we need to stop every now and then and look around. Check out where we are. Check out where the path we're on is taking us. Excuse me. My throat's kind of going away here. And check out where we're going, where the path is taking us, and see if there are any obstacles that are coming up that we're going to need to go around. It may be longer to go around, but perhaps the benefits of that path are better. Sometimes we may have to go back down a bit in order to take a different path, and that path may take us closer to our goal. Most of us don't like to backtrack, but it can be a necessary step to accomplish our goals. It can be very necessary sometimes to backtrack and take a different path. And we need to nurture ourselves and rest when we're tired and pace ourselves. Otherwise, we may burn out along the way. Otherwise, we may not do the very best job that we can do. And if I'm going to sign my name to everything I do, I want it to be my very, very best job. So we need to take our time and pace ourselves and do it properly. Another thing we can do is eliminate unnecessary and inappropriate activities. Do not attempt to jam more and more activities into your already overcrowded schedule. Learn to say no to things that don't fit in with your goals. If you say yes to everything, then yes doesn't mean much when it's said. Saying no more often allows you to say yes to your priorities and to really important things, and it will allow you to participate fully when you do say yes. And when you do say yes, it'll be something you want to do, and therefore you'll be proud to put your name on it. You'll be proud to say that this is one of my projects. One of the things you need to do is identify areas of greatest stress in your life and begin to make changes, because that continual high stress, high rush style can cause you to have health problems, and not to mention it can cause you to have sleep problems and interpersonal relationship difficulties. So you want to learn to eliminate anything that you're doing that is unnecessary and inappropriate. Take care of your body. This is another very, very important thing. You must pace yourself in order to maintain your health. A person in great health they emit attractiveness and energy and effervescence. And that's because their bodies are full of strength and energy and well-being. Good health adds strength and vitality to your personality. You feel better able to deal with situations and people when your health is good. You know, if you don't feel well, it's really hard to act well. And if you don't feel well, it's certainly not going to make it easy to deal with any difficult situations or difficult people. You know, it's very, very hard to be pleasant and charming and exciting when you're sick. It's difficult to think, much less make decisions, much less do things to the best of our ability when we aren't feeling well. So start now to create the kind of health that puts color in your skin and a sparkle in your eye and a skip in your walk. Start now to take care of your health. You know, these characteristics of color in your skin, sparkle in your eyes, skip in your walk, those are characteristics of a charismatic personality. When we see people and we say, wow, that person is sure charismatic, what we're saying is they're dynamic. That they have energy, they have a positive energy about them. And I'm sure we've all been at meetings when some meeting was just dragging along and then some person walked in and they had this incredible dynamic personality, or the speaker was really, really dynamic. And then you felt as though that person was speaking directly to you and you came away from there inspired and full of new energy, and it made you feel better because having great health adds vitality to your personality, and it attracts people to you. And so when we're around those kind of people, we feel better. We feel more energy, too, and we want to be one of those kind of people. We want to be that charismatic person that people say, wow, you know, did you meet him or did you meet her? And the way we do this is we have to recharge our batteries. Recharge your battery. Have you ever felt like your battery was dead? I mean, your personal battery, not your car battery. I mean, we've all had that happen, but your personal battery, like, you couldn't go on. You had to give up. You were just like, oh, well, I didn't want to go to that destination anyway, or that's just my luck. I've never been able to reach my goals. I'll never be able to get what I want. I'll never be able to do what I want. Yeah. At one time or another, most of us seem to have run low on energy. And this happens when things aren't going the way we expected, or we've worked too long and too hard without achieving our desired results. This is a critical time. This is not the time to give up. It's the time to take a break, to go to the spa, to go home and not answer the telephone or the door, or go on a drive in the country, or a walk in the grass barefooted, have a picnic with someone really special, or go on vacation, or do what I now do, go and paint a picture. Whatever you do, make sure it is something you enjoy doing, because your brain needs time to process everything that is currently going on without any additional input. Sometimes our brain just feels like it's on overload. And how can you do your best? How can you put out work or put out a project or even paint a picture that's really great that you want to sign your name to? How can you do that if you're tired and you're exhausted and you're depressed and you feel like giving up? You have to take time for you and make a commitment to your goals. Your goals have more chance of becoming a reality when you're committed to them. Many people talk about how committed they are, but when push comes to shove, they quit. You see, real commitment means you don't give up until you achieve the desired result. Someone once said to me, how will you know when you're committed? And that was really something to think about. And how do we know? Well, we know when we get the result that we thought we wanted. When we got that result, we know we were committed and that we didn't give up until we did it, until we achieved it. Even when obstacles get in your way or you have setbacks, you never give up. Committed people understand that there is a price to pay to achieve anything worthwhile. So you need to find out the risk and rewards before you decide to follow a particular path. It will be easier to keep your commitments when you know what to expect before you make the agreement. And then, you know, be like that bighorn sheep. Once you've started and you you're going around your mountain and you find out, ooh, this path isn't working. Back up a little bit. Sit down and rest. Look around. Take a different path. Go a different way. But be committed to the desired result. Don't be committed to the action that you have to take to do something, because there are many different actions and different ways to get to the top of the mountain. And your mountain's no different. There are many different ways that you can get to the top of the mountain. And think about this, too. You know, many of us are very, very good at keeping commitments to other people. We raise our children, we make dinner, we attend functions, we organize the carpool, we clean the house, we do the laundry, we do community volunteer work. And in addition to that, we pursue our careers and we put everyone else's priorities ahead of our own. Many of us make promises to ourselves that we don't keep. We provide excuses such as I was too busy or my boss needed me or I had to go to the children's school function. My husband needed it done for him. And all the while, that little voice inside of us is saying, what about me? What about me? Don't I deserve some attention as well? When we don't keep the commitments we make to ourselves, we feel hurt, frustrated, resentful. We even feel unworthy because we promised ourselves something and we didn't make it happen. Now, if someone else promised us something and they didn't make it happen, we'd be very, very disappointed. And so we need to realize that we are disappointing ourselves when we do things like that. But part of the reason we don't keep commitments to ourselves is that we've been conditioned to look after others first. We can't indefinitely continue to place commitments to others ahead of our own commitments to ourselves. We can't continue to do that without damaging our self-esteem and ultimately our relationships. It is not selfish, self-centered, or egotistical to keep our commitments to ourselves. When we feel a sense of accomplishment, we're going to have more energy and be more willing to give to others. And when we do, we're going to do a better job. And once again, we're going to be proud to sign our name. You know, we're so busy living in the me generation. I'll help you if I get something out of it. You scratch my back and then I'll scratch your back. Many people today are living for themselves. And I don't mean living for themselves in the way of taking care of themselves. I mean they just don't want to help other people. And they focus on their own wants and needs and expectations. And when they are in trouble or they need assistance, sometimes they wonder why they can't find someone to help. But see, a lot of people aren't going to help you. And so you've got to take care of yourself, because you've got to learn to give and take. Give and take. And when you find yourself getting discouraged or depressed, it's usually when you're all caught up in yourself, when you're starting to think about, oh, poor me, nothing's happening for me, it's not me. When you go out and you help someone else, you'll get your mind off your own problems. But I'm not saying help someone else at the expense of yourself. What I'm saying is make your life make a difference. Make your life make a difference for someone else, but also make your life make a difference for you. Because if you have to sign your name to everything you do, you want to be really, really proud of what it is you do. You know, Dr. Martin Luther King once said, greatness is determined by service. Greatness is determined by service. And we all have greatness within us. And I want you to remember that you can do, have, and be everything you want to if you do it to the best of your ability. If you do the things you choose to the best of your ability and you're so proud of it that you would sign your name. This is so important. This is Judy Morio, and this is Choices, brought to you by Turning Point International in Las Vegas, Nevada. You can reach me at judy@judymorio.com. That's judy@judymorio.com. Listeners, please let me know what you want to hear me talk about. Please let me know what you want to hear, judy@judymorio.com. And remember, you are more than enough.